This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast.
We are killing it online.
Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons 3 to 7 on WSJS.
So glad to have you on this Wednesday drive. It's WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where the calendar is officially flipped to October. We have baseball postseason games being played during the show. This is certainly something we welcome as we welcome you in, but for as good as the vibes of playoff baseball are, the vibes are quite different surrounding the Carolina Panthers right now. Going into the 2025 season, the Carolina Panthers' two deepest position groups were the offensive line and at wide receiver. Today, after just 4 weeks, four games, those two strength areas have been decimated by injuries. The Great Wall of Lina, as it's been called, has been damaged significantly. It's been 4 weeks, and count them, three linemen have been placed on injured reserve. Starters Robert Hunt and Austin Corbett following the second game of the year in Arizona, and former NC State guard Chandler Zavala, who was in Austin Corbett's place, or make it Robert Hunt's place, he's now on injured reserve after the game Sunday at New England. So here's your five-man line for the Miami home game this week. Ike Ekwonu, left tackle. Damian Lewis, left guard. Cade Mays, center. Brady Christensen, right guard. Taylor Moten, right tackle. Still, it's a rotation of players returning from last year's team. It could be a lot worse than that. But it's not ideal. It's no longer something you would characterize as being a strength of your team. The same is true for wide receiver. The wide receiver room continues to churn as well. Remember when the Panthers were so deep at that position about a month and a week ago that they traded away Adam Thielen and cut Hunter Renfrow at the initial 53-man cut? They were so deep at the position, don't need Hunter Renfrow and don't need our leading receiver from last year, Adam Thielen. Since then, two receivers have been placed on IR. First, Jalen Coker in the preseason, still week to week according to Dave Canales today. David Moore was placed on injured reserve today. An elbow dislocation, Canales calls significant. Xavier Legette seems to be on the mend, but he's missed the last two games with a hamstring. JT Sanders didn't practice today. He's another weapon that Bryce Young has lost. Thank goodness for Teteroa McMillan, honestly. He's been consistently good. Still looking for his first touchdown. The only reason that's top of mind is because my father says, "What's wrong with Teteroa McMillan?" I'm like, "What? Are you not watching? This guy's been incredible." "Hasn't scored a touchdown, though. He's on my fantasy team." Nobody cares about your fantasy team, Dad.
I care about it.
Don't believe you. As if this isn't enough, that's not enough of an injury bug. Carolina's thinnest position has seen attrition too. That's edge rusher. Carolina was tied for the third fewest sacks a year ago. You get rid of Jadeveon Clowney after the draft. You bring in Pat Jones. You have DJ Wadham, who is kind of a veteran presence there. Pat Jones has missed the last two games due to injury. DJ Wadham was out on Sunday. You released a bust of a third-round pick that you traded up for, and DJ Johnson. The Panthers have just, count them, two sacks in the first four games. Let's reiterate that one more time, just for effect. The Panthers have two sacks in their first four games. That's dead last in the NFL. No team has fewer than four sacks. Well, other than Carolina, sitting at two. So the Panthers' greatest strengths have been decimated. Also, their thinnest position, seeing some attrition as well. All not good for the Carolina Panthers. on X at Josh Graham Show if you want in today. That's where we're streaming video in addition to YouTube and Twitch. Will Dalton, he's the executive producer of this show, and frankly, he's in a bad mood today because the Yankees lost last night. The Yankees blowing a lead. The Yankees blaming everything on the manager. His demeanor is so bad. A coworker actually popped into the studio right before the show started. It said, WD, you look awful. WD, you look hungover.
I am hungover.
This is a thing that was actually said to you.
I'm hungover with this performance that I saw last. How do you get bases loaded in the ninth inning? Nobody out, no outs, and you don't get any runs. Like, Aroldis Chapman is just screwing with you at this point. I think he did it on purpose, loaded the bases.
Yankee great, Aroldis Chapman.
Trent Grisham, could you get something going up there? Let's move along.
There is MLB news for us to get to. The Atlanta Braves announced today that Brian Snitker will not return as the manager of the team next year. He's going to shift into an advisory role. It's essentially the type of role that teams, schools, they'll put coaches in when they want to get rid of them but like the coach too much and they've done so much with the team that they want them to maintain dignity. Here's this advisory role where you'll never be heard from again. And he's going to be inducted into the Braves Hall of Fame next year. Dear Atlanta, what you should do next, it should be obvious, but if it isn't, please listen closely. Hire Ron Washington to be your next manager. Lost in the Snitker news is how Wash got railroaded by the Angels. See, Wash was in LA for 2 years. To put the timeline together for you, for those watching on YouTube, Twitch, and X, hey, it's a picture of me and Ron Washington. My BFF, Ron Washington. Legitimately a family friend, Ron Washington. Friend with my dad. See? Said something about my dad that was annoying, and now we're applauding my dad. It's what we call equal opportunity. So when you take over the Angels, not this year, but the year before, that is immediately after Shohei Ohtani leaves. Shohei Ohtani never played in a postseason game with the Angels. That's how bad things are. But imagine how bad they are when you inherit a team that does not have Ohtani anymore. You didn't trade him. He just left in free agency, so you didn't get anything back in return. It was indicated by Wash to local reporters or to national reporters, his dismissal was performance-based, not health-based. The reason health factors into it is in July or late June, Ron Washington left the Angels for a few months. We eventually learned because he needed either triple or quadruple bypass surgery. But he says he was told it was because of performance reasons. He was let go, not health reasons. How does that make sense? When LA was right there in the thick of making the playoffs, when Ron Washington was managing the team, they did not, and they took a step back considerably once he was no longer there. Then the report comes from Ken Rosenthal today. Why did LA really make this move? Well, there are reports that Albert Pujols is the leading candidate to be the Angels' next manager. Oh, so you just decided you wanted to have a different manager and you wanted it to be a noteworthy name who's a former player. And now you just moved off of Ron Washington to make room for Albert Pujols. Got it. So you have a really good manager who's here, available for the taking. Atlanta, even at 73 years old, he's a perfect fit. He was an assistant for Atlanta 7 seasons, including the World Series title in 2021. As a manager himself, he should have won the World Series with Texas down to the final strike twice of that Game 6 where David Freese went nuts. The Braves, they have a roster that's ready to compete right now. One of the critiques you could have for the Braves is they gave too many guys big contracts and they were content. But the reason you gave them that contract, those contracts, is you felt right now, that you're feeling like you can win. You're feeling like you win with this team. Wash is a win-now manager. He's 73. He's a win-now manager. He knows how to do the job, and that's what the Braves need. And if Atlanta decides to pass, then those Orioles should capitalize. Not just because he's my BFF family friend, and that would be awesome. Might take more trips to Baltimore, fire it up. But the Orioles, like the Braves, are in win mode right now. And he actually played in Baltimore once upon a time as a player. So, dear Atlanta Braves, hire Ron Washington. And if Atlanta doesn't, Baltimore, you hire Ron Washington. Jared writes in, love Wash, but he's 73 years old. Are you trying to say he's washed?
Oh, boy.
Listen. If you can get hired to lead a college football program when you've never coached in college before at 73, if you can be either of the last two presidents of the United States and be older than 73, you can manage a baseball team. You can manage a baseball team. We don't need him to be there till he's
eating the dogs.
Don't know why you have that even in your computer. We don't need him to be there till he's 80. You just need him to be there for the next few years while you're in your winning window trying to win right now. Jay Davis, the Yankees should hire Wash. WD, how? If you have the choice between Aaron Boone and Ron Washington, what do you want?
Give us Wash. How pissed would you be?
I'd be upset. I'd be very upset.
Oh, it'd be beautiful. See,
because then the times I'd see the Orioles would be when they play the Yankees. Be the only time I head up there.
Just pass along. Hey, my producer's a big Yankee fan. Just throwing that
You're
out.
Not coming. As mentioned, B-Dot. Well, don't know if we mentioned. B-Dot's the sixth man of Tar Heel basketball. He's joining us. And to take us to grammar school and talk some hoots, he joins us next on The Drive.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
The sixth man of Tar Heel basketball is B-Dot. Next week, we're going to be in the Queen City, ACC Basketball Media Days. Who's going to be more annoyed next week? Vinow and Lubin being asked about the Tar Heels or Seth Trimble being inundated with ice cream-related questions?
Oh, it's going to be Seth Trimble, no doubt. Steph Trimble, no doubt. I don't think it's going to be a lot of people that's going to have a bunch of back and forth with Ben Lubin. They're not going to want to make him feel that awkward about that situation. But everybody's going to want to talk to Seth about the Ben and Jerry's and the ice cream and how cold he's going to be this season and just all types of puns that are going to just be annoying as hell.
I'm looking forward to you sitting next to me and talking to Seth Trimble because you're a great idea man. And I know he respects your opinion a great deal. So WD just wanted to ask you a favor in terms of something to pass along to Seth. Do you want to tell B-Dot what that is?
Yes, tell him to use Dadgum Dolce de Leche as a flavor for his
Dadgum Dolce de Leche
for his Roy Williams flavor.
He says he wants a Roy Williams flavor. Rod Baxley, our buddy with the Fayetteville Observer, says Tough Little Nut would be the best name for a Roy Williams flavor. WD says Dadgum Dolce de Leche would be a better flavor.
Yeah.
Idea for Roy.
I like the Dadgum Dolce part. I like that whole thing right there. I'll definitely remind me, WD, and I'll definitely pitch it to him for sure.
I will.
Where WD and I have disagreement on LaMelo Ball in terms of what's best for the Charlotte Hornets.
Since the beginning.
I never said the guy was a bust.
Bro, you never wanted Melo Ball in Charlotte. You wanted Scoot or something.
Oh, no,
Scoot.
No. You're thinking about Brandon Miller.
That's what I'm saying. Dot is right if he says I was wrong about Brandon Miller.
Yeah.
And I own that. From day one, he's pegged me as somebody saying that I'm not a LaMelo guy because I preferred Anthony Edwards in that draft.
And
there was a top three. Well, no, at that point, nobody knew what the order was going to be between Edwards, Wiseman, and Ball. Wiseman was the only one I said I was out on. And I was right about James Wiseman.
Yep.
I understood Charlotte taking LaMelo Ball. I just didn't think. The confusion was I didn't think he could be what he was as a rookie. I thought it was a developmental project that was going to take some time. But I wasn't against Charlotte picking him because I felt those were the two best players in that draft. I was never against that. Now, getting to today, this is year six for LaMelo Ball. I think this roster is tailored around him to elevate his play. I think it's a good roster for LaMelo for him to get back into all-star form, assuming that he's out there on the floor playing at least 50 games, which he hasn't done since his all-star season in 2022. But it's a different organization than the one that he was drafted into. I look at the guys on this team, and I feel a different vibe of player that they desire. Brandon Miller, very serious basketball guy. Konka Knipple is dead serious about everything. LaMelo, his shot selection, his lack of defense, he's a free spirit that's out there on the floor. And if he's playing really well, I feel, looking at what we saw with Oklahoma City and Indiana this past year, they really benefited from trading a star, in both cases, Paul George, oddly enough, and it led to them taking the step they needed to become a contender and a sustained winner. I feel that that helps smaller market teams. When you have a star that teams could potentially overpay for, I think it's best for Charlotte that LaMelo plays well and a team buys high and you trade LaMelo away. WD doesn't want to see LaMelo go. Where are you on LaMelo Ball?
I mean, you know where LaMelo stands. I do understand your logic in the how serious certain players are when it comes to basketball. But LaMelo Ball has a skill set that you don't see often, especially at the point guard position. He's 6'7" and can handle the ball like a 6'1" point guard. Mm-hmm. He's flash. I mean, it's 6 or 7. You know, you don't really know. I'm glad you've seen that too, Josh. Yeah. I told you that's a real thing. But I'm saying, man, like, he's got the kids. Like, kids want to be Melo. It's folks that want to cut their hair like Melo. Like, he's a larger-than-life space that you don't want to just trade away. And he's a super-duper star. And I agree with you. I hope that he can give us 50 games. I've always said if Melo Ball can give us 60 games, we're 4 or 5 in the East. And I really believe that, man. I feel like that Melo Ball has that type of skill set. And when everybody's healthy with Bridges and Brandon and now with Khan and them boys, man, like, I really feel like we have a roster that can do some damage. But I hope that Melo is tired of the noise, tired of the conversations about him being too flashy and being too more concerned about photo ops and shoes than actually putting the ball in the hoop and can actually stay healthy for 60 games and bring some damn wins to Charlotte. I hope Melo is sick of losing because I know the Charlotte Hornets fans are.
Let's get to today's grammar school.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking. And just when you think it can't get any worse, rah, 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 Josh is going to attempt to learn B-Dot's vernacular.
I'm
going to
put one in the air.
It's time for B-Dot's Grammar School.
Nobody better than B-Dot. Pre-game, during game, post-game.
You think if I asked Malik Brown or Caleb Foster or John Shire how tall Konka Knipple is that they'd get it?
I don't know if Shire would, but I know the players would for sure.
He's 6'7".
Okay. That's a good segue to grammar school. I have a caucastic question to get us started. Actually, I got a couple.
Wait. Before we get into this, man.
Uh-huh.
The sabotagery last week on WB's show, man. Oh my God.
Oh yeah, it was a quizzery for you. You got quizzed.
And then you sabotaged me, Josh. You're supposed to be my friend, but you sabotaged me, you piece of trash. He was gonna give me charcuterie board where I could have got me a point.
Uh-huh.
And what does Josh say? No, I think he knows that. He asked me what's in a freaking white Russian. Okay.
Kahlua, vodka, milk.
No, Bailey's.
Oh, yeah, Bailey.
You could do it either one.
It could be, I mean, yeah.
As long as you have that variation there.
Kahlua is the most important.
Was confusing on the vodka and milk. Like, I just, but nevertheless. then what else did you ask me, WD?
What's a French press?
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't even think I retained what the hell a French press was. I don't even know.
And then he thought Ryder Cup was NASCAR.
I definitely thought the Ryder Cup was NASCAR.
Well, let me ask you these questions. It's very important. These are just really quick ones, like quick hitters. Brian Snitker is in the news today. Who's Brian Snitker?
The inventor of Snickers.
He's the Braves manager that was
former.
Just moved off of.
Braves manager. Who loves Snickers.
Who's Kurt Busch?
Kurt Busch is the NASCAR driver. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
That's true. He is. And he was a guest with us last hour.
See, that is NASCAR.
That's pretty good. See? WD. You know, the race this weekend is the Roval 400 at Charlotte Motor Speedway, which is a lot different than the race in May in Charlotte. That is the Coca-Cola
600. Yeah, that's the 600. See, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there Sunday, though. What's
you
the
are?
Race Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna be there. That's the Roval. The Roval.
The Roval. Yeah, they're doing some stuff with HBCUs. You know, I'm an advocate for HBCUs and always a product of HBCU greatness. So I'm going to be there, me and my brother Darren Brand. Yeah, October 5th, we're going to be there for the Roval.
This weekend. That's right. We'll be in Charlotte, too, but just for the tackle football game between the Panthers. Oh, we should have talked about that. Panthers Dolphins. WD is going to be at North Carolina Clemson.
I'm gonna go see
you know
Luda.
What? Let's put a pin in that. I do want to ask you about that at the end of this. All right, what do you got grammar school-wise? If you want to help me out, I got a pair of tickets to the Carolina Classic Fair, which starts this weekend on the Winston-Salem Fairgrounds. If you can help me out, 336-777-1600. The tickets are yours. What do you got?
Grandma Core.
Grandma Core.
Yeah, what is Grandma Core?
Not to be confused with Grandmama.
Cool. Not to be confused with Larry Johnson's grandmama. Absolutely not.
336-777-1600. Grandma Core?
Mm-hmm.
Hey!
And this is a thing people say.
Yes, people say this, actually.
It's
I actually have to look it up. Like, what? But it's really a thing.
I'm going to say, because the phone lines are not popping, I'm going to say Grandma Core is like an old person workout. I'm going to say like elliptical. I'm going to say it's WD. Why are you making sounds into the microphone like that?
I don't know.
All right. I'm going to use you as a, if you're going to make noises into the microphone, I'm going to use you as a lifeline. What do you got?
So Grandma Core is like a social media trend that's kind of popular among some people where it draws inspiration from doing, I guess, cliche grandmother activities like thrifting or
eating like those chocolates that are wrapped, like the gold wrapped caramels.
Maybe. Knitting, baking, doing activities like that for social media. That's Grandma Core.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Like rather than hardcore, it's Grandma Core.
Exactly.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That's correct. Channeling your granny.
Bada boom.
Bada boom.
It's usually when you're talking about home decor too. Like when you got like decor in your house that looks very old. What are y'all laughing at? What did I
WD mean? Just does weird stuff. He'll just say it in the micro. Bada boop. What is that?
I got it right.
Well, you did. Good for you. Bada boop.
I don't like WD hinting that he knew the answer. So
yeah, I was trying to be careful.
All he did was a into the microphone because he doesn't know how to not make noises into the microphone. He'll hit his hand on it. He'll do bada boop. WD. There's our podcast title today. Bada boop. However that's spelled.
All right, here we go. Acronyms for you, Josh.
Oh, yeah. No.
Oh yeah.
We're ending with acronyms. ITK.
I thank K. If you know, well, no. I know what if you know means. Or ITK. If that is the K a no? Is I and I. This is annoying. I hate acronyms so much.
But what you need to understand is if my daughter, who's 13, uses them as much as she does, by the time baby Daniel gets of age, oh my gosh, like that's the only way Daniel and them gonna be talking.
Acronyms.
Acronyms. This, my daughter just sent me this. She was like, Dad. And then she put ITK. And I'm like,
ITK. Are you one of those kids that uses this? I've already used my lifeline. Don't say anything. But do you know what ITK means?
ITK is not an acronym I have used.
Okay, okay. I was about to say, I thought you were going
to give
me an
answer.
I
like acronyms, but that's not one I've used.
Okay. I'm going to say ITK means in the know.
And you're going to be 100% correct.
Yeah!
Wow!
I felt that the K was was no. Let's go! In the know. I like that. I like
it. You are ITK, my boy.
I like this. I like this a lot. Yes. Makes
all
me
right,
so
last
happy.
One. Acronym. The letter C, the letter U.
Catch up.
That's your final answer?
Yeah.
It means see you, like Bob. Doesn't that piss you off? Doesn't that piss you off? Ooh, doesn't that piss you off?
It does.
It's like right there in front of you. You just don't know it.
It's right there in front of you.
It's still a passing grade and also gives
still
us an
opportunity.
It gives me an opportunity to segue. How funny of an image is it, Dot, that there are going to be people going to the breakfast joint Breadman's on Saturday and then walking onto North Carolina's campus at 10 o'clock in the morning to throw bows on them listening to Ludacris. Ludacris is going to be performing at 10 in the morning on North Carolina's campus this weekend ahead of Clemson, North Carolina.
At 10 a.m. is absolutely insane. Like, I know Ludacris is really probably upset about that.
I'm going to get a coffee, and then I'm going to walk over and sing Area Codes at the top of my lungs.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
That's going to be amazing. That's going to be a great day. And then, of course, the Tar Heels are going to go out there and going to get dog walked.
I'm gonna have in my hands a biscuit and then listen to Moo Biscuit
get out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really more like Move Bill Belichick. Get out of the way.
Move Bill.
Move Belichick. Get out of the way.
Oh, by the way, I didn't mention this in my review of One Battle After Another, which I talked about yesterday. This is going to be a movie that wins Best Picture. It's one of the best. It might be the best movie of the decade that's been released so far. Paul Thomas Anderson, Leonardo DiCaprio. I didn't mention this, but I'm thinking about it in the context of Doc, because we were talking about Sinners earlier this year, and it might have been you that mentioned, hey man, if you activate black audiences, they're going to show out, and there's going to be a big box office. This movie cost $150 million to make. It only drew $22.5 million in its first weekend. And I think a big part of the reason why is the way they sold it is, it's Leo! It's an action movie! And really, when you watch the movie, I was like, well, this is an amazing Sean Penn performance. And who's this black actress that is an ultimate badass? And this movie's like, I mean, it's Benicio del Toro. This is actually a fight the resistance type of, I don't want to say it's a black movie, but it is a movie that strongly encompasses and discusses problems within the person of color community. And I felt if it was framed that way, it might be a bigger deal than it's been.
Tiana Taylor is the lead in that? Is that the female in that?
Tiana Taylor she plays a very important role in the first half. Regina Hall not being funny. Like, right. Regina Hall playing a serious role. It's a young woman. I forget her name. I think I think her first name's Chase, actually, which you don't hear. You don't know many women named Chase, but she was amazing in this movie. Amazing.
I'm gonna check it out. I might take my daughter. Me and Ryan might go check that joint out. Do you think it's age appropriate for a 13-year-old?
Okay. No, it's a rated R movie. But
we watch those all the time.
It is, well, in that case, it probably is appropriate then, because it's not nothing. There's nothing too crazy in it.
Yeah, it's not like it's not a bunch of sex scenes and all kinds.
There's a couple. It's not a lot of nudity, but there are a couple. They don't make movies like they used to in the sense where there's not a lot of sex scenes in movies so much anymore. And there is
there's some Billy Bob Thornton's and Halle Berry monster ball scenes.
There isn't that in this movie. But it is. It is a really, really good movie, and it's one of those that you enjoy the first time, and you should see it on the biggest screen possible. but then you're thinking about a lot of the things that happened in the movie and you just can't wait to watch it again.
Say no more. I'm sold.
All right. Dot, I will see you next week. We love you.
Love you guys. Peace.
You're on the drive with Josh Graham. WSJS.
If you'd like a couple of tickets to the Carolina Classic Fair on Winston-Salem Fairgrounds, give us a call now, 336-777-1600. All you have to do is tell us something good going on with you. 336-777-1600, because it is time for weekly positivity. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I wonder, will God ever forgive us for what we've done to each other? Will Dalton's movie for next week is Blood Diamond. We're going to do really bad South African accents for the entire segment, probably.
Are we?
Listen here, Roo!
I don't even know how to do a South African accent.
You're going to find out. Should we start with the phones?
May as well.
Let's go to Keenan. Stephen A. Smith, tell us where Keenan is calling in from. That's right, Kernersville. Hi, Keenan.
Hey, Josh.
Tell me something good.
Well, let's see here. Oak was in a charity golf event recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll throw in a little Blood Diamond, a little reference here.
Please.
I was hitting the golf ball like a heat-seeking missile, Brit. So, you know, there's that. You gotta love it.
Did you, hold one sec, just so I make sure I heard you right. Did you say bruh or brew?
Well, I guess it's brew. Heat-seeking missile, brew.
Give that man all the tickets. Give it to him. Give it to him. Oh, where was this golf? How did you do in the golf tournament?
Played as well as one can.
How well is that?
I mean, hit some good shots, hit some bad shots, played golf. It's, you know, it's just a thing.
All right.
Well, if you know, you know.
I know. Thank you, Keenan.
Kernersville!
I think you're going to enjoy this movie next week.
It sounds like it.
Tell me something good with you.
Well, the first thing that we got to say is really good.
You need this weekly positivity today. Because Dylan Gabriel isn't starting for Cleveland.
I don't care about that.
The Yankees, you know, they lost and Malik Nabers got hurt. And now that you're a Giant fan because Jackson Dart is starting for them. It's just been a tough week for you, Will. It's been difficult.
The first thing I have that's good is biscuits.
Oh, yeah. This segment's brought to you by Biscuit King. Thank you.
Biscuits.
That's bad hosting on my part.
Terrible job.
Really bad.
The Yankees get another crack at it tonight.
That's the good news?
That's the good news.
It almost feels and it sounds like worse that it's at Yankee Stadium. And it feels worse that it's that way. It's palpable energy.
It is very palpable. It's great news that Jazz Chisholm's actually going to freaking start tonight when he started all year long, but then for some reason didn't last night. That's good.
Jazz is your savior?
Well, he should be in the lineup.
Yeah.
I'm also excited because I am going to go see Ludacris in Chapel Hill.
I made the executive decision, and this might be good.
Luda.
Because I'm going to the Panthers game on Sunday, and then immediately going back to Charlotte Tuesday and Wednesday for ACC Basketball Media Days.
That's a lot of time on the road.
I'm just going to let Will Dalton do the UNC Clemson game so that he's closer to the situation, too. in Greensboro, so he can get to the Luda concert earlier.
Yeah.
That's outstanding stuff.
Excited for that.
You should be. Let's go to Jew, who's in Winston-Salem. Jew.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Just excellent. Tell me something good with you.
What's going good with me is, John, my Notre Dame Fighting Irish got a coach fired this week.
That's true.
My Cubs, they won their first game. So, unless something dramatic happens, we should win the series.
I don't know about that. I just picked San Diego to win the World Series yesterday. I wouldn't count that team.
You're good.
Well, that made me feel a whole lot better about it.
Yeah, you should. You should. You got a man fired. He lost his job, and now my World Series pick might be in the tank, and you're happy. It's good. Notre Dame, it's an interesting deal. I feel badly for all the teams that are about to face Notre Dame. I don't know if they go 10-2, if they can get into the playoff, because USC lost at the Horn to Illinois this past weekend, so they don't have any ranked teams left on their schedule. So what does Notre Dame have to do to try to prove itself? Not just win games, but absolutely throttle and crucify their opponents. And NC State is on the schedule next weekend, and that's not pretty.
Am I mistaken? Don't we play Miami this year, though?
No.
Oh, okay. I was mistaken.
You are. Just like I was picking San Diego to win the World Series, it seems. You know, these things happen.
Miami or Florida State?
No Florida State. See, this is the problem with the schedule. You needed... Oh, wait. You guys do play Miami. You lost in the opener. That's my bad. You were not mistaken.
Oh,
you lost
right.
the opener to
that's right.
Miami.
That's right. That's right.
That's the thing. You had to beat either Miami or Texas A&M. You lost both of them. So, and we kind of thought that State or Syracuse would be good. Maybe Pittsburgh gets there eventually. Boise, we thought that'd be a good game, but Boise's had some losses, including the USF. And USC, you kind of look at. They 10-2 should be enough for Notre Dame to be right there in most years, but it's hard to say that's the case when, you know. This is not really what you want to hear in Weekly Positivity, but they just haven't gotten any breaks in the schedule, it seems.
We'll need a little bit of help, so hopefully that help will come around.
All right. Well, good luck to your Cubs. I don't mean that, but I want to see your flourishment. Jew. There you go. Yeah, because I have the San Diego Padres, man. What are we talking about? I got 24-1 odds on them like early in the season. And jumped on that, so we're rooting for them. In terms of what's good with me, went to Costco last night.
Are the hot dogs back yet?
They're not.
Oh, that's a shame.
Got myself some chicken Alfredo and one of those salad bags, Chipotle Ranch. Solid.
I bet it was.
It was very solid. Had some leftovers for lunch today.
Sounds good.
And that's good. That's been Weekly Positivity.
What was that?
Just trying some stuff out, Will.
I see.
That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
Josh Graham loves to talk sports. He also loves the way his new jeans highlight his man curves.
Ooh, hot.
Oh, hot. Yeah, right. That's hot.
You're on the drive with Josh Graham.
It's race week in Charlotte. NASCAR playoffs, the Roval. A lot different than the Coca-Cola 600, I'd imagine, as we're being joined now by Kurt Busch, somebody who understands this very well, because he's fared well at this racetrack, regardless what the course looks like. Kurt Busch joining us now. CharlotteMotorSpeedway.com is where you could still get tickets. You can catch Kurt on Friday, his Black Monster Energy car. Old 97, going to be in the Series Hauler Parade, going to be in the fan zone as well Sunday afternoon. Kurt, I had a nightmare last night, and my nightmare was that I started this conversation that we're having right now and welcomed you so kindly to this show, and then you tell me that it's actually Kyle Busch on the line. It's a nightmare that I had.
That's great. I get it all the time. People walk up, "Hey, Kyle, what's going on?" I'm like, yeah, what's going on? And then Kyle, he tells it to me all the time. People call him Kurt. And so we got our parents to thank for that, but it all turned out okay.
Has that ever happened in an interview? Has it happened that you're on the line and someone says, "Kyle Busch, let's talk about this weekend's race"?
It has a couple times. And if I'm solo, I'll try to correct it right away. But if it's a group of people, I'll let it go and let someone else in the group fix it. You just got to gauge the situation.
That's great. Okay, so take me into the mind of a driver. How does the preparation for the week look different for the Roval versus, say, the Coke 600?
Road courses, man, they're much tougher. Much tougher, much more preparation with simulation work on getting in the sim and sorting out a couple different setup packages. Getting your braking points back, shifting points. It's just, it's like a refresher every time you go to the road courses. The ovals are like the back of everyone's hands. They know them really well. The bumps haven't changed. Turn-in points are pretty close. So the ovals are much easier to prep for. So it's a fun twist. It keeps everybody on their toes in the playoffs by having a road course in the playoffs.
For someone who's never been in one of those simulators, what's the trick to making sure it's a sound simulation of what you're going to see on the weekend?
Well, it's a hard discussion. I use the simulator as a tool. It's not real life. The simulators, I would say, can get you 75% of the way there. And you use the engineering setup from the guys. Like plan A, plan B, plan C. And then that gives them a direction on what to put in the car and show up on Saturday for practice and qualifying.
Kurt Busch is with us here. It's the Bank of America Roval 400 this weekend at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Tickets, charlottemotorspeedway.com. How has your relationship to the Cup Series and to NASCAR changed being on the outside versus the tunnel vision that comes along with racing week in and week out?
That's a cool question because it's a loaded question. I mean, I'm much more appreciative of how everything was set up for us as drivers with security, with the access to get in and get out of the tracks. I mean, the drivers and teams, you know, are treated like royalty, and the tracks do what they can and set everything up for the media, for the fans. It's really neat seeing the whole operation, because when you're in it all the time, you kind of got the blinders on. You're there for the practice, the qualifying, the fan events, and the race. And you don't really get to see it all. And so it's been cool to take it all in and go to some of the tracks and sit on the grandstand side and go, "Wow, that's cool. I've never really even seen that before."
What is it? You still seem like you seem so busy, Kurt Busch. You look at some of the things that I saw you were on ABC with Costas this week, and you and your wife, I saw on your social media, were at a gala. I saw somewhere your 2010 Dodge Charger is for sale in the UK. Like, what is your day-to-day like?
I mean, it still feels like I'm busy and the schedule's full, like as a full-time driver, but it's for fun events that, you know, I feel like with charity and giving back, it's easier now to take it in and have that little bit of time off, but still help with this or make sure this fundraiser goes right or promote this brand. I mean, like for the Holler Parade coming up on Friday, it's a cool thing for future Hall of Famers to be part of. Harry Gant is going to be alongside me with his Skull Bandit car. And those are fun things where it's not like I'm suiting up to go ripping around there at 200 miles an hour next to the boys.
How does it hit you that you were 26 inductee for the Hall of Fame, and not only that, inducted on your first year of eligibility?
It's amazing. I mean, I never would have expected it. I'm a blue-collar kid out of Vegas that I worked and worked and worked, and I think my resiliency showed through all the years of the ups and downs. and to have the resume on the racing side and to have pushed through and raced with all the different teams, and I have them to thank for, and all the crew members that helped out and all the cool sponsors. I mean, it's been a fun ride, and I think my legacy is painted in there as the kid that came from Vegas, is a blue-collar kid that never gave up, got to be a champion early in my early 20s, and was able to race for 23 years out on the circuit with top teams.
Kurt Busch with us here. Your answer there just reminded me of a conversation we once had with Steve Smith, who was telling me, I'm a West Coast guy. I'm an LA guy. And then I went to Utah. And then I played for the Carolina Panthers for more than a decade, and now Charlotte's my home, and you're a West Coast guy. And I don't know how long Lake Norman's been your home. It seems like you've been, I mean, with NASCAR, I mean, North Carolina's been your home forever. How do you balance the identity of your roots versus where your feet have been here in the state of North Carolina for however long it's been now?
Yeah, I'm a true Southern boy now. I mean, when I showed up as a desert kid, there was a lot to learn about the South and the process, and it was fun, like just being an outsider. But I definitely call Carolina home. I love living on the lake in Lake Norman, and then with the teams and still being involved a little bit with 2311, with the simulators, with TV, and doing different things here. This is definitely the back of my hand. Like, I know how to get around, and you got to love the mountains are close, the beach is close, and this is like a nice, true Southern state.
Speaking of 2311, racing for Michael Jordan, what's the best example you can give me of his notorious competitiveness revealing itself?
I think it came from the day I got hired and the time that I met him to sign the contract. And, you know, it wasn't really like a negotiation. It was just kind of a finalization, because he's already a step ahead. He already was informed about me, and he already did his due diligence, and he knew that I was the guy to come in as a 40-year-old veteran to start up a team. And the words he spoke to me just put me on my heels, and I'll remember him forever. He said, "Son, you know, you raced and you're going to race the same way that I played basketball, and that is you race from your heart. You don't race from your brain. You don't race from your athletic ability. You race from your heart, and that's why we want you to start up this new team for us and develop it and get it ready for the next young driver."
Now that you're out,
like, man.
Wow.
That's amazing. That was it, man. That was the deal, man. That's where he tells you got to perform without telling you got to perform.
Now that you're out of racing, does that mean you adopted more of a Carolina Panthers fandom, like local sports teams? Is that how that works?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. With growing up in Vegas, we didn't have sports teams there when I was a kid. And so, yeah, with the Carolina Panthers and the Hornets, you know, I love just going down to the Knights games and just chilling at a beautiful ballpark and just kind of hanging out. You know, the ballpark, baseball is my jam. I really love baseball. And my favorite team, though, is the Chicago Cubs. So they're playing right now.
Oh, it's on.
They're playing really well.
Yeah, let's hope they can score one here. Bottom four, 1-0 San Diego. But they're up 1-0, as you know, in the wild card series. Kurt Busch, it's good to hear your voice. Best of luck this weekend. Not having to race and such, but with the Hauler Parade and all the other things that you're involved with. We appreciate the time and the triad. There goes Kurt Busch. Kind enough to join us here. Oh, I think now we got you. Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Thanks again, and I hope to see all the fans out at the track. I'll be there Friday for the Hauler Parade, Saturday and Sunday for the big race.
He was never voted most likely to succeed.
You're such a loser.
But then again, were you?
The very concept is unimaginable.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
Will Dalton and I have each survived through 4 weeks of our survivor pool in the NFL. Let's figure out what our picks are going to be this week. It is time for best bets.
I'm not a betting duck.
Care to make it interesting?
You know you do.
You're on. Count me in on this.
Your best bet.
But my money's on the other team.
This is Josh's best bet.
My brain's all over the place, Will.
Mine too.
Head is spinning. And there are four teams that I'm considering right now. Four. And you could talk me into any of the four. I hope we find clarity in this segment. I hope you pick one of the four so that way I can pick a different team so that we don't have different teams. That's why I want you to go first, because you're claiming to have more clarity than I do. For those following at home, yep. Survivor pool is you can only take each team once. When your team loses or ties, which related to the Packers and Cowboys Sunday night, you're done. So it's about picking a different team each week and trying to be the last person standing in your pool. Will Dalton has used Washington, Baltimore, Seattle, and Detroit. I've used Philadelphia, Baltimore, Tampa, and the Buffalo Bills. We both, or I took Buffalo on Sunday. You took Detroit against the Cleveland Browns. So how easy of a decision has this been for you this week?
It has been a little dicey. I'm going to go over some of the ones that I've been looking at. Minnesota against Cleveland, of course, was one, but that's a London game. That could be a toss-up. That's tricky. And also, the Vikings.
That was one of the teams I'm looking at. I think I'm going to nix that as well.
Because they, again, this is their second week out of the country. They just
I don't know if that's a plus or a negative.
Yeah, I don't either. Colts against the Raiders, I thought about. Thought about that.
I loved this. That's one of the four as well. Indianapolis. See, you're talking about a team that had a bad fumble.
Yeah.
Where A.D. Mitchell is in the end zone, but he's switching hands, and the ball gets fumbled out, and you lose by a touchdown against the Rams, and that's the only loss they've had this year. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Vegas beat Chicago this past week. It's a West Coast to East Coast trip, 1 o'clock kick. That's one that I liked as well.
I also really liked Buffalo against the Patriots. Okay. I don't hate that, but I actually have something else on my mind that I'm going to do.
Oh, yeah, you didn't take Buffalo yet against the Patriots.
When am I ever going to use the Giants?
I don't know.
It's going to be this week against the New Orleans Saints.
Okay. You're going to take an underdog.
I'm going to take the Giants on the road in New Orleans.
Because of Jackson Dart?
I'm going to put my money where my mouth is.
Oh, my God.
I am going there.
You're
going
to take an underdog.
I am taking Jackson Dart and the Giants.
What are you doing?
Against New Orleans.
What are you doing? That's crazy.
Because when else am I going to use the Giants?
You don't need to use the Giants ever.
Well, here I am.
Okay, there you go.
Money is going where my mouth is.
The Giants are WD's pick for this week. I certainly don't have that on my board.
Let's go, G-Men.
I was considering the Vikings, not going to do the Vikings. I was looking at the Colts. Now I'm playing the game where I'm looking ahead. And I see that the Colts, in a few weeks, have the Titans at home.
Yep.
That seems to be a good play for the future. I also see that the LA, and this is where it gets tough. I'm down to the Colts, who I think I just talked myself out of right there. The LA Rams against the San Francisco 49ers. It was just announced Brock Purdy out, Ricky Pearsall out. This game is Thursday night. It's San Francisco going to LA. And then the last game I was looking at is Detroit at Cincinnati. Because the Bengals are really bad, Will. They are a very bad football team.
Yep.
The next five games for Detroit, Kansas City, Tampa, Minnesota, the Commanders on the road, the Eagles on the road. That's their next five. Don't think we're taking the Lions in any of those games, you wouldn't think. So let's talk this out, Will. Need your help. Do I go with a home team on a short week facing San Francisco's backup quarterback, taking the LA Rams? Or do I take Detroit that is going to Cincinnati, but the Bengals are on a short week?
Take Detroit. Take Detroit.
Yeah. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go
That's
down.
The move.
I'm going to go down with Jake Browning. But here's why I'm scared. Because Cincinnati's the team that killed me last year. Now, Joe Burrow is a quarterback.
No, he is not. This is not that Bengals team.
Well, no. I'm saying I had the Bengals, and they lost to the Giants. I don't want the Bengals to kill me again. So you're saying short week Bengals take the Lions.
Yes. Don't overthink this. The Bengals are not good. The Bengals don't have Joe Burrow. Detroit is a very solid football team.
Okay.
To be fair, both of those picks could be good. I just feel better. As somebody who's taken Detroit,
the Rams week, also host the Saints in a month.
Yeah. So let's just say that. And
all right. Yeah. This is the time where we're trying to win games. Detroit.
That's right. That's why I'm going with the Giants in New Orleans.
That's insanity. I can't believe you just did that.
Hey.
I really can't believe you just did that.
Put my money where my mouth is.
What does that even mean? We're not putting any money here.
Put my survival where my mouth is then. If okay. I'm going to sit here and say Jackson Dart, okay. I'm going to believe it.
Detroit is my pick. WD's pick is the New York Giants.
Big Blue Nation. Let's go, Big Blue.
That's been best bets for today. Wow. Exhilarating.